The administration wants the launch of the redesigned USA.gov portal to be more than just putting lipstick on a pig. Jeff Zients is OMB's chief performance officer, and he says the government-wide website and new mobile applications are part of the way the Obama administration wants to change the perception of government. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us now this morning with details. Good morning, Jason. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So what does Mr. Zients believe the new USA.gov and mobile apps are going to change the perception of government? How so?
Well, their goal is to make the citizen's experience very similar to what they find with Amazon, FedEx, OpenTable, or pick any of the any of the other private sector sites that we all go to every day. Zients says the government too often doesn't think about its services in that regard, and that is what must change.
And the new USA.gov and the launch of mobile applications make government services faster, easier, and more user-friendly. I believe, and the administration believes, that they are important steps in serving the public at what are 21st century customer standards.
The administration believes, and I think many people agree with them, that the government has a bad reputation. Zients cites a Pew Center study that finds trust in government is among the lowest ever, and two-thirds of those surveyed believe that the government programs are inefficient and wasteful. Zients says there's only one way to improve public opinion.
All the research shows, Pew Research and other research shows, that the best way to change someone's impression of government is through positive interactions. When they're actually touching government is when you can change that impression. And when someone has a good interaction with government services, they are more likely to have a favorable view of the government and believe and trust government.
So, Jason, what changes did OMB and GSA actually make in USA.gov?
Well, first of all, they changed the look. They cleaned it up. They made much more the search part, much more the central point of the site. If you remember the old USA.gov, there was tons of topic areas, tons of links, and that has been taken away. It's a highlight of a few popular services like renewing your passport. They're very, if you will, Google-like, Yahoo-like, where search is the main thing. The second thing they did was they purchased Microsoft's search engine, Bing, and then improved upon it. So they didn't just say, okay, now we have this commercial search engine, we're going to use it. They even made it better. GSA's Dave McClure says GSA added a structured search capability underneath Bing, and he calls it the most powerful government search engine available to search more than 24,000 federal web pages. Federal CIO Vivek Kundra offers this explanation about how USA.gov has been fundamentally reengineered.
So now all of a sudden you can see all the related searches, related questions and answers, and any of the forms that somebody may be interested in finding. So if I was a student and I wanted to consolidate my loans, very quickly you'll find a Q&A, who you need to contact, how you need to go about it, and how you can get it done actually online. That's one of the changes that have as part of USA.gov. The other one is very much focused around getting it done online rather than getting it done in line. Moving services to USA.gov that are end-to-end electronic. Agencies across the government are in the process of modernizing and making sure that the experiences that the American people have with the services that they're providing are end-to-end digital, and then you can actually track where you are in the process.
Now, we've seen this several times throughout this past almost 2 years of the Obama administration. The Customs and Immigration Service redid their customs application process. If you guys remember that, I think we talked about it on your show several times.
Mm-hmm.
They're really moving to that transaction-based services, and I think that's really where the government has needed to go for a long time. But I think they see this as the means to the end, of which is really changing the way people look at government. Kundra also uses the example of applying for a passport. He says no longer do you have to do search and then get redirected to the State Department's website and then figure out how to apply. The new USA.gov site will lead you to apply in a few clicks. Now, let me give you all a little bit of background on this effort, because what's interesting, this is the fourth time OMB and GSA have tried to improve USA.gov, formerly known as FirstGov. You guys remember that the first time that came out back in 2000 when this was launched as the government-wide portal. And they were using a search engine from Inktomi free of charge. GSA switched 2 years later to search technology from a company called Fast Search and Transfer. And then in 2006, GSA moved to Vivissimo's clustering technology and Microsoft Corp's MSN search tool that preceded Bing. Now, GSA also changed the name of the portal to USA.gov in January 2007. I mean, this has been an ongoing process, challenging. They've not had good results in their search. And every time they've made the change, I've heard from people at GSA, this time we've got it, we think we're great. And each time it's kind of fallen a little flat.
So how will mobile apps then play into this changing perception of government?
Well, I think search is important because people, we all search, and you know, we go to Google, and we go to Yahoo, and we go to Bing, we all search. That's what we want. So mobile apps is that second piece of that. Zients and Kundra believe this is, you know, the future of government. Kundra says more people are buying smartphones, such as the iPhone or the Droid or other mobile devices, than they're buying desktop computers. And as part of this redesign, the government has launched 18 mobile applications across three platforms, the iPhone from Apple, the Google's Droid, and the RIM's BlackBerry. Kundra says some apps are new and some have existed for some time.
Where the government is headed is recognizing that the American people, the way they access information and demand services, are no longer on a website that's tethered to an agency, but actually in their mobile devices. And we've seen a huge growth in mobile computing.
Now, one of the issues that stands out in the studies show that one in three people have smartphones. So me, Tom, Amy, only one of us has a smartphone. I think it's actually both of you do, but the study doesn't work for us. But the point is that even a recent Nielsen survey found that only one in five actually have smartphones. And I asked Zients and Kundra about the fact that they're focusing on their resources, both money and people, on a market that, if you think about it, is still very fairly small. Instead of saying one in three people do have smartphones, two in three people actually don't have smartphones. Zients says OMB is not asking agencies to choose between mobile apps or improving other technology systems.
I don't think there's an either-or here. I think we want to do both, and by making sure that we focus the mobile apps on the most valuable information, I think that those investments, those small investments, have a very high return. At the same time, we're very committed to improving IT project management across the board.
Now, Kundra adds agencies will develop apps related to their mission. He also expects third-party developers to provide some software tools as well by using the information through data.gov. In fact, Kundra says OMB is working with mobile app companies to create a category to let people browse government apps. This is similar to something like gaming or music or shopping or anything else. OMB is also working with the legal folks on the government side to figure out if the third-party apps could be placed on USA.gov. As of now, they will not be available. The current set of mobile apps may only work with one platform, but Kundra says over time the software tools will be available on all platforms. And there's some really cool ones. Which we'll need today. There's a UV index and an air quality from the Environmental Protection Agency. You could download that app and figure out just how really hot and strong the sun is. For people who traveled, for instance, over the weekend for 4th of July, the Transportation Security Administration launched a MyTSA app, and that helps answer some of the common questions about air travel. And one really interesting one was something called recalls.gov program, which lets products that have been recalled or have problems, you can figure that out by scanning the barcode on certain products with the camera on your phone, and then it goes back to the Consumer Protection, the CPSC's database, and they figure out if that product's been recalled or not.
Well, I can think of one good application nobody's developed. How about broken water fountains operated by the Park Service? Personal pet peeve.
There you go. That might be a good one, Tommy. You should suggest it.
Google Map app.
Well, what I'm wondering about is, I think what you said about the search quality being number one and being so important is a point that can't really be lost here. And they have this relationship with Bing. Do you know how that relationship works? Did they reveal, like, if they have to pay a fee to be able to use them, or how does that work?
So this is a subscription service, and in fact, the contract is coming up later this fall, and they will be recompeting it. But this is something that's part of, you know, they put out a RFP or an RFQ, and people bid on it, and Microsoft happened to win this one. So it's very interesting. Now, Bing is making inroads in terms of the search, but Google is still the one that I think most people use. So it's interesting that I've heard, and I have not confirmed this, I've heard that Google did not bid, and that's something that I'm going to try to track down.
Well, we don't know what the technical specs were that they asked for because, you know, Google is optimized for certain things, but other search engines have strengths that Google's does not. And I'm not a search engine expert, but I know enough to know that if you need a specialty kind of search or a search that's just not basically the same algorithms that Google uses, then you have to try other products because they do give different results for different purposes.
And
maybe
that's
why.
Yeah, I mean, that may be a big part of why they didn't bid. I mean, who knows?
One other question for you, quickly. You were talking about the evolution. You went back and gave this really concise recap of how this has evolved over the past 10 years. Really great stuff, but it seems as though it's going to have to keep evolving just by the nature of the technology that's involved, right?
Absolutely, and I think that everybody, technology never sits still, and I think we all know that. But the issue here with USA.gov is it first started out as this portal where everyone can come get all your government information.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized, okay, this doesn't work as well as we hoped. People have better luck finding it through other search engines. So then they keep trying to improve it, and it almost is like, that's why in the beginning when you said putting this is not just putting lipstick on the pig,
yeah,
which is what they seem to have been doing year after year, because they keep just trying to improve this one search engine without really getting to the heart, which I think this administration thinks it's trying to do, which is the heart is the way people actually act, think about it that way instead of thinking about the way government delivers information. And there's a change.